And you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling show here on the FOW Radio Network. It's another episode of FOW Live. I am Patrick, your host. With me, as always, Danny Danger. The rest of the folks, who knows where they are. But Danny, how the heck are you?
I'm doing good. We're beta testing the new headphones. So I spent a whole whopping $12 at Big Lots just for you guys. So I hope you appreciate it. And this is about as good as it's going to get.
I'm telling you, Danny won't spend $12 on a beer. He'll spend $20 on a beer, but I mean,
that's a really expensive fucking beer if it's $12 just for one.
I mean, bro, go to AT&T Stadium. Uncle Jerry charges $11 for a beer.
Goodness. Yeah. Just about any stadium is pretty crazy.
Not Uncle Jerry's, but not Uncle Artie's. Here are Mercedes-Benz. They're friendly. Like $5 or $6. You can actually get
seconds. Like a cup or like one of those full cans?
No. It's like a regular cup or a can.
Okay.
But no, they're decent. I mean, Mercedes-Benz and State Farm is following along with the fact that they do fan-friendly pricing. So
Gotcha. Well, that's good. I haven't
so far haven't your been investment to a stadium in Atlanta paying off
in boy damn time. Well, good. They're all charged up, so hopefully, you know, we won't have that issue of them just kind of pooping out midstream, but we'll see.
Sure. Well, listen, I already do not hear myself twice. I mean, people probably don't like to hear me once, let alone twice on this thing. So I think we're all right.
All right. Well, good. We're off to a good start.
Yeah. Speaking of good starts,
what's going on in this wacky, wild world of professional wrestling
this
week?
What isn't going on? I'm assuming Eric's not going to make it unless he's running late.
He is in parts unknown. He's actually working late night at his job. So he said he might attempt to join us from parts unknown, similar to how Mika sometimes drops in and such. So we'll see if it is just the two of us or we are joined by many, many more.
Well, we can start talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling since, you know.
There you go.
I know that he's usually excited about the New Japan, but, you know, he'll have to miss out this time just because
there's so much
stuff to talk about. Well, okay. So I think it's official. We can tell everybody. We're going to our first. Well, together, right? The New Japan show. No, did we go to the one in Atlanta together? We did go to the one in Atlanta together.
We did. Yeah. This is our first flight trip, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Every other trip we've done in cars, even if it were, you know, eight, 9 hours or so.
Yeah.
Doing that kind of gimmick. But we're getting a little old for that shit.
Yeah. I mean...
This is up in DC, so it would be about 9 hours or so, and one way. We would rather not.
Right. You and I were planning on the original plans we talked about last year. You got the go ahead for your 25th birthday celebration. To go to New Japan Pro Wrestling in Tokyo, Japan, and experience.
Yeah, see the Wrestle Kingdom. Yeah,
Wrestle Kingdom. We were gonna do that. I think we both were pretty much. We're going as long.
Yeah, we both were on board. The other two were not quite so as prepared.
But they at still least do not have their passports.
No.
They still don't. But you know, of course.
World events, world events would lead us to not be able to make that trip.
No,
to the best of my knowledge, they in Japan currently, they are still not open for tourism yet.
Mm.
So many months after, you know, now we're in April, and Wrestle Kingdom was January 4th. Even they're open for visas. You know, so if you're working there, you can get in and out of the country, which is good for New Japan going forward, especially with Best of the Super Juniors coming up soon.
Yes.
But yeah, it still is not open for travel, so we still would not be able
Yeah.
to get in at all.
No. We weren't able to go. We were kind of bummed, but then
Yes.
this fell into our laps. I
Yeah,
mean,
and
if it was
it's
okay for us to
much,
go
much
to
closer.
Tokyo, Japan, Washington, D.C. was going to be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Especially when they advertised the Rainmaker. I mean,
Yeah, that was it. All the other big name people that they've announced, you know, we have seen in person, and that was it. Some of them were at different shows. You know, but and some were at the New Japan show here in Atlanta, Tanahashi being, you know, the big one.
Right.
But you know, this show has advertised Tanahashi, Jay White, Will Ospreay, Jeff Cobb, and of course the Rainmaker himself, Kazuchika Okada. So this is probably the closest that Okada is going to come to us here in Georgia.
Yeah.
For probably a very, very long time.
Don't blame him. I wouldn't want to come to
Well, yeah.
Georgia either.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
That I guess is a whole different ball game. But yeah. So we're doing it, flying out Saturday morning, watch the show Saturday night, crash the hotel, fly back out Sunday morning.
Take a nap in the
It's
hotel.
still good.
Take a nap in the
Yeah,
shower.
it's still, you could nap watching a wrestling show. You could nap doing this podcast. It's happened before.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately,
But
I'm too lazy to edit the show anymore. So, yeah.
yeah, well, you know, you need a CPAP. You have sleep apnea. And I guarantee you, once you decide to go to the doctor and decide to put up with the inconvenience of strapping the machine to your face, you're gonna get better and restful sleep,
Yeah.
and then you won't be so tired all the time.
Well, yeah. So speaking of that, you know, I did go see my like 20th newest doctor in a row.
Yes, you keep switching them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Do
this
they
time I
keep
had
retiring
to.
between times you go back or something?
Yeah, pretty much. But
I had that happen, yeah.
yeah, no, so insurance changes, so I was forced.
Oh, that's part of it too, yeah.
So I had to get a new doctor, and I said, "Well, you know, my wife tells me I stop breathing while I'm sleeping, and you know, I keep
That
falling asleep on
is,
my podcasts, and you know, I
yeah.
can't stay, you know, awake for like 30, more like 5 minutes in the car before I start dozing off, you know."
Yeah.
So everybody thinks I have a sleeping problem. So dog's like, "Yeah, you probably do." And so yeah, so I actually did get a text message from the sleep nanny test place saying, "Hey, call
Okay.
us, we can help you. Help us help
Okay,
you sleep."
interesting. The
So yeah.
what I ended up doing was the test at home rather than having to go somewhere
Yeah, you
and
know that's
sleep,
I would like
you know,
that.
all strapped up and stuff. So ask about that. It's much
Yeah.
cheaper, so your insurance is more open to it. They basically send you home with a little machine, you hook it up, and then you drop the machine off the next day,
I'm
rather than
more of
having
a at-home
to
test.
have to sleep like in a hospital bed with a bunch of stuff on you, and like they still got lights on. They're like, okay, it's 8 o'clock, so go ahead and go to sleep now. And you're like, but I don't go to sleep now. Like, what
Don't
am I
go to
gonna do
sleep
for 4 hours
8 hours.
until, you
Well,
know?
you know.
Yeah. So they want you to sit there and like go to sleep on command for 7 or 8 hours at a time so they can do this test. So it's and if you don't do it all the way, then like they still charge you. Like if you don't, you know, if the test doesn't get completed, it's not like you get to try it again for free.
Wow. Sounds like a scheme.
A little bit, I think, yeah. Yeah, a little bit. But hopefully that'll be there good to help you. But until then, you're just gonna snore, and I'm just gonna have to make sure you don't die on me in the next bed while we're
Well,
done.
yeah. I mean, I'll just make sure you fall asleep first.
There you go.
You can get a good night's sleep.
Thank you. It's very kind of you.
But yeah, no, it'll be fun times in Washington D.C. Collision of the Capitol.
We're literally doing nothing but going to a wrestling show and probably getting something to eat. Yeah.
I mean, isn't it the life though? That's
Capitol Collision, I think, is what it's called. Yeah, pretty much. Just go to the wrestling show, get some food, get some drinks, and then we're out of town. Yeah.
Yeah.
On the next town, brother.
That's pretty much almost how I used to do with my Chicago trips to go see Freelance.
Those Chicago trips were insane. You'd be gone like 18 hours. You wouldn't have been gone a full day.
Not even. I would literally get there around 4 or 5 p.m.
Right from the plane, pretty much get some food, go straight to the venue, and then right back to the airport afterwards.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah.
Goodness, yeah. That's
that was the life.
I mean, back when we were young, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm still young, son. I'm sorry.
That's true. You still have a month until you're dead and buried in the ground like the rest of us.
Yeah, just keep up, Danny. Just keep up. We'll be good. But yeah, so I'm excited. They've teased, semi-announced some matches, right?
Yeah, some matches were. Yeah, I think they have officially announced the three that you told me about the other day. But everything else is still kind of up in the air. There's still a couple shows between now and then.
Yeah.
There's a big, the big show, Wrestling Dontaku in Japan. Yeah. So, it's very possible that titles could change hands before people come back to the States.
Yeah. But already we got a really, really fun lineup with Jon Moxley and Tomohiro. Tanahashi facing off.
And they've been talking back and forth for a while. Pretty much when Tanahashi came in for that kind of one-off in New Japan or in AEW, everybody was talking about him and Moxley. And I mean, ultimately, it was kind of the pandemic that kind of kept them separate and apart. And, Mox is like, oh, Tana's been ducking me. And Tanahashi's like, I really haven't been like running from you. I just had other things to do, and now I don't. So let's do it.
Yeah. Right, Ishii versus Kingston.
That is, that's going to be one of those matches we're just going to sit back and watch guys chop each other for about 10 or 15 minutes, hit one or two big moves, and the match will be over. But it's going to be amazing. Going to be completely and utterly outstanding, and every single chop is going to have the crowd going wild.
Yeah, and I believe Suzuki against Brody King.
Yeah. After the most recent event this past weekend, in Chicago, Suzuki was doing his backstage, comments, and Brody King just walked up to him and said, I'm not afraid of you. Let's go ahead and fight. And that is another one that's going to be very, very hard hitting.
Yeah. Yeah, now previously before this, though, we've been having the New Japan Hyper Battle Series in Japan, all leading to the big showdown that happened this past April 9th, I believe.
Couple days after our last podcast, six title matches on that show. So it was, pretty big one coming right out of the month there.
Yeah. Lots of title matches.
Yes.
Lots of title matches. Of course, the war between Guerrillas of Destiny and Bullet Club continue.
That one's probably not going to be over anytime soon.
No.
It's going to go on for a long time, I would imagine.
Yeah. But hey, Tama and Tenga have found some friends, so that's good for them.
They're seemingly being embraced by the main unit, also known as Hontai. So they've seemingly found some friends and allies. you know, at least people with common enemies, Taguchi and Watto, as well as the ace himself, Tanahashi.
Yeah. So, speaking of Master Watto and Taguchi, they retained their junior heavyweight tag team titles against ELP and Bone Soldier. The match.
Yeah, fun match. Fun match. You know, it's one of those we talk about not really liking Taguchi when it gets too silly. But, you know, this they kind of amped up this rivalry to be more than just kind of a wrestling contest. And so you saw Taguchi have to bring in that little more aggressive edge. And that definitely helped make the match more enjoyable overall.
Yeah. The King of Pro Wrestling title. Was also imagine no ropes,
sumo contest. Yeah, it was basically a sumo rules contest. Not exact sumo rules. The guys could, you know, but it was basically you have to just knock. They took the ropes down. You had to knock him out of the ring, and Tai Chi did it.
I mean,
and, Tai Chi is definitely more in the range of the sumo culture. I think it was his idea to have the sumo style match. Yano, you know, they talk about him being a very accomplished amateur wrestler in high school and college. You know, so there was kind of, will Yano be able to kind of out grapple Tai Chi? And Tai Chi was able to win the King of Pro Wrestling trophy. And he claims that he's going to stop the title from being the joke that it's been with Yano for so long, and move that championship into the main event slot of shows down the line.
I mean, if anybody's going to do it, he's one of the guys that could.
Well, he already issued his first challenge, and that was against Shingo Takagi. Their match type for their eventual competition has not yet been named, but Tai Chi basically said, you know, hey, to make this belt a main event, I got to call out like a main event player. I got to get a main event guy, you know, who the fans are going to want to see in the top spot against me. So he called out Shingo, and Shingo accepted. So we'll see under what rules they may compete. But, you know, that could be a potentially main event level, match. It just depends what else is on the card, I guess.
Yeah. The Never Open Weight title did not change hands as Evil retained against Hiromu Takahashi.
Yeah. A lot of moments it looked like Hiromu was going to win it, you know, in several matches leading up to it, including their singles encounter in the New Japan Cup. Hiromu, you know, got the pinfall victory over Evil, using Evil's own signature maneuver, his STO variation, to beat him. But, you know, Evil and the House of Torture were just too much. Once again, proving, you know, the numbers game and all this is just kind of too much for most people to handle.
Indeed. The tag team titles, IWGP tag team titles also, those did change hands. As we have new champions, the United Empire, Great Okani, Jeff Cobb, your tag team champions, defeating Goto and Yoshihashi. Did not see that
one. Fantastic match. I honestly could see that match going either way, coming from it, because the duo of Okan and Cobb have only had one pinfall loss as a duo in like 2 years, basically, throughout the pandemic. And they had like 46 or 48 matches. They were on these undercard matches over and over again, and just nobody could find a way to beat them as a team. And Yoshihashi and Goto, you know, ripped through the World Tag League, ripped through Dangerous Techers at Wrestle Kingdom. And, it was a hell of a match, but, you know, at the end, it was the power of the United Empire. And I'm excited to see where the title reign of Jeff Cobb and Great Okan go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely going to be interesting. to see. You know, I mean, Ospreay, of course, something else for him to brag about.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That was a really fun match, though, for sure. And let's see. The junior heavyweight title was on the line. Man, all the titles on the line.
Yeah, I mean, it was six title matches on the show. It was just about every title they had available, pretty much.
As we had El Desperado defeat Show in 20 minutes. Show looking good, but, you know, not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, it was... Show had, you know, been doing all these kind of attacks and things like that of El Desperado before and after matches and using weapons and all that, but... You know, unlike some of the other guys in the junior division, like, Desperado's not afraid to fight dirty, too. You know, I mean, that's kind of how he and Kanemaru became multiple-time tag team champions, was, you know, using dirty tactics and stuff as part of Suzuki-Goon. And so that's essentially what, you know, we see is what you're going to have to do to defeat the House of Torture. You have to be willing to take it to their level. To you know, you have to combat the evil tactics with the evil tactics. And Desperado was more than happy to do that. It was a hell of a match. A little disappointed that Show didn't win, but it was a fun match. And, you know, the title reign of El Desperado continues. He's doing quite a good, you know, he's doing a lot of good with this championship right now. This was in the main event or semi-main event slot on a big show. You know, he beat Hiromu at Wrestle Kingdom, successfully defending the championship against the Best of Super Juniors winner from last year. So it looks like El Desperado could be moving into Best of Super Juniors this year as champion as well.
Yeah, pretty much could be. Of course,
before we get to the main event, I want to talk. I want to talk about the news about the United States Championship. Because Sonata did come out during the show. As he recently won the United States Championship from Tanahashi. But during the New Japan Cup, Sonata was injured. During his match with Ospreay, where the match had to be stopped, he actually broke the orbital bone in his face. And so he decided that since he is unsure of how long he will need to be out for recovery, he was going to relinquish the championship. He said this is a championship that needs to be defended, and I can't honestly say when I will be able to defend it. So Sonata willingly gave up the championship. He was not asked by the company. He was not forced into it. This was his decision. But what he wanted was just to hand the championship back to the previous champion. Just say, Tanahashi, you have the championship. I beat you for it. You were a great champion, you know. I'm going to give you the championship. You be the champion from then on out. As soon as I'm, you know, with the promise of as soon as I'm healthy and well, you give me a championship opportunity. Will Ospreay comes down and says, no, 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 you're not going to give the belt to the guy you beat. I'm the one who injured you. I'm the one who beat you in the New Japan Cup. If you're going to give that belt to anyone, it should be me. So, the match was set. It's set for Wrestling Dontaku on May 1st in Japan. And it will be Tanahashi versus Will Ospreay for the vacant IWGP United States Championship. So, you know, I mean, big news whenever somebody has to relinquish a championship. You know, this was Sonata's first singles championship in New Japan. He did not defend that, have an opportunity to defend that championship. You know, so the previous champion, the guy who took out the champion, are now fighting for that championship again. So when Ospreay comes to Washington, D.C., it's very possible he could be the United States champion.
Very well. That could be. Main event time.
And a main event for all ages. These guys have battled, I believe, this was the 15th time that they've had a singles match. And their record against each other was tied 7-7. So they were in a dead heat over 12 years of singles matches between them. Once again, Naito the challenger, Okada the champion. Oh, you know, Naito pinning Okada in the New Japan Cup. And, no, I'm getting my stuff mixed up, aren't I? Damn. Yeah, that's after. Yeah, so it was, I'm getting my main events mixed up. I'm already looking ahead as opposed to looking behind. So, main event of this show, my apologies, friends, was the winner of the New Japan Cup, Zack Sabre Jr., challenging Kazuchika Okada. They had had, Three previous singles encounters. I believe Zach was up 2-1 on those. But he had not made the Rainmaker submit. Nobody has made the Rainmaker submit since Shinsuke Nakamura in 2014. It was the last time the Rainmaker submitted in professional wrestling ring. So Zach kind of took it upon his mission to do that. To prove that he's the greatest submission wrestler, the greatest technical wrestler in all the world. You know, Zach won every single one of his matches except the final in the New Japan Cup by submission. And he was a little upset with himself that he couldn't win the final by submission. And he had to rely on the Zach driver. But Zach, nonetheless, looking to make the Rainmaker submit. Hell of a contest. Really it was. It's on the edge of my seat many, many times. But in the end, as we have discussed many, many a times, only a fool bets against the Rainmaker. Especially when the championship is on the line. And ultimately, the Rainmaker gets the win over Zack Sabre Jr. You know, but not necessarily the end of the road for Zack Sabre Jr. as a title contender. You know, he, of course, he does fall down the pack some, but still boasting the, you know, the win of the New Japan Cup, he could find himself only one or two matches away from getting a title shot again. And I would love absolutely to see it. It was fantastic main event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, some people may say this was their best match. I mean, I think all four of their matches have been great matches. I think the first one, you know, I think because it was the first one. Was 4 years ago was really
it was when Zach won the New Japan Cup for the first time and challenged. And that was it was the first big singles clash between them. You know, and it really was something else. But the thing is too is that both guys have had gone through a lot in their careers since 2018. You know, the Rainmaker had his historic championship run and eventually lost the series of matches and the championship to Kenny Omega, and Okada kind of fell into this despair and found himself struggling to find a place on the card for a while, and you know he invented the King of Pro Wrestling trophy as a way to try and add some new match types and things like that into New Japan, and you know the man hasn't held that championship. He was in the first match to decide it, but pretty much has stayed away from it ever since. You know, but the Rainmaker was battling injuries for a while, and then he pretty much got back into his 2018 form and tore through the G1. And, you know, has just about been unstoppable ever since. You know, he's only lost two times in that time period. Once was in Tama, and he beat Tama afterwards. The time was to Naito in the New Japan Cup. And now he looks to move forward and avenge that loss, you know, with the title on the line. And, you know, Zach had a lot of ups and downs as well. You know, he spent a lot of spent over 2 years pretty much throughout the pandemic teaming with Taichi.
Yeah.
And, you know, as they were multi-time tag team champions.
Great tag team, right? Now they're probably my favorite in the recent years.
They're really, really good. Really good. And, it, you know, they're... their slight clash of styles and personalities really great helped make the match exciting. Yeah, yeah. And then you could see, like, this, watching the promos and all this, you could see, like, this weird, cool kind of friendship between them, even though they were, you know, very different people from very different places. And so that kind of made it kind of fun, too.
Yeah.
But now, you know, the Techers are focused on singles aspirations. And, you know, Zach went through and blasted through the New Japan Cup, you know. So it's, yeah, very, very different, you know, paths, but they both had their ups and their downs in that time. But the big problem is the Rainmaker is back to his top form. And when the Rainmaker is in his top form, he's borderline unstoppable.
Yep.
And that's where we're at right now. And Zach kind of talked about that going into the match. He was like, dude, he's like, Okada is back. He's like, he is fully back. He's like, and if I don't stop him now, the longer that he continues on this reign, the harder is going to be for anybody to try and beat him.
Can anybody beat him at this point?
Well, that's the thing. We've seen, you know, the Rainmaker in his, you know, in previous title reigns, you know, his big long one of over 700 days and 13 successful title defenses, which is a record. Nobody has defended the title that many times in one reign before. Is that, yeah, but as he goes on through the championship reign, he becomes harder to beat, which is quite the opposite. Most champions start to kind of break down. They start getting hurt and, you know, they start, you know, the travel and the expectations and the pressure and the media and all this of carrying the company and all that, it can weigh on people and you know, and tires them out and then challengers find ways to beat them. But Okada somehow gets stronger through all of that. And that's it. I mean, if somebody is not able to stop him in the next few months, I mean, we could be looking at another possible record-setting championship reign from the Rainmaker.
Yeah. Which is great. I mean, the man's just doing fantastic things. People thought that once he lost the belt, he was on a decline. You know, he started wearing pants.
He was done. Yeah, he started wearing the pants, and he went through the silly thing with the balloons, and he was pretty much just wrestling, like, you know, opening match mixed tags and all this, and everybody's like, oh, man, he's done. He's just going to be, you know, kind of this middle-of-the-road guy from here on out. He's never going to be what he once was. But, I mean, it took some time. But he's back to where he was, if not better than he was when, you know, he was at the top form, you know? And
yeah. And
realistically, he's fairly young still. If I remember correctly, he's only like 34, 35. And, I mean, we could honestly see Okada wrestle for the 20 years, very easily. And we can see him wrestle, you know, at a top level for 10 to 15 of those years, you know, given if he stays healthy. I mean, you're looking at Suzuki, who's, you know, 54, 55, who's still wrestling. You know, he's not in top title matches, but he's always a featured attraction wherever he is around the world. Tanahashi's that same way. Tanahashi's getting on it up in years, but he's still able to compete at a high level. I mean, we're honestly in, you know, in the midst, in the early prime you know, of what could be one of the greatest professional wrestlers to ever wrestle. Not just, you know, one of the greatest today, but one of the greatest to ever do it. So he very well could even get better than he is right now. You know,
that's kind of
if the talent level around him raises, he will raise above them to meet to just be remain that dominant. I mean, it's wild to think about. It really is, because he absolutely every single match he does, you know, in a high profile situation, it is an outstanding match. It is just, you know, edge of your seat kind of excitement, no matter who his opponent is.
Doesn't matter.
And it's, yeah, it really doesn't. I mean, even his match against Watto and all this, like, you knew he was going to run through Watto, but it was still a good, it was still an exciting and fun match. There were a couple moments in there where you're like, ah, man, maybe Watto's going to do it. And, you know, no, of course not. He gets shut down by the Rainmaker. But the guy is just so good at, you know, just building the story and the pacing. You know, just so many things. I mean, ultimately, his big moves are a drop kick and a clothesline.
Yeah.
And you know, that's, you know, as basic wrestling holds get, basically. And he does them with such tremendous execution and, you know, that they become more than just their base forms, and they become moves that can defeat opponents and moves that, you know, are seemingly unstoppable to beat and things like that. Just to, you know, we call Tanahashi, you know, the once in 100 years talent, but realistically, I think Okada's pretty much right there too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Fantastic. And that's why we couldn't wait, right? We had the opportunity to see him when we had the chance live in his prime. Who else could say that we were going to get... Who thought that we were going to be able to have the opportunity to see Okada live, you know, this year?
I mean,
letdown of Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we were... Yeah. I was kind of like, I guess it'll be a few years from now, but no, it is, you know, just over a month away.
Yeah. The wrestling lords have spoken. They have
shown favorably upon us.
Yeah. We're not worthy, but alas, we'll take it.
Yes.
So yeah, so fun stuff coming up though. For a lot of good stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks, months. Of course, this you know, the Capitol Collision that we're gonna go watch. Before that though, like you mentioned, Wrestling Dontaku happening May 1st to kick off the month of May, which is the best month in the world. And we've got a really fun card with a lot of title matches yet again. Opening up the show, Suzuki Gun versus Los Ingobernables de Japón, teaming up with Tatsumi Fujinami in six-man tag.
Yeah, it's so, dude, you talk about somebody who you didn't expect would be wrestling at the level he's at.
I know.
73 years old. And, you know, we've seen him wrestle a couple times this year. Yet again, they are in mixed tag matches, but the guy still moves so well and brings the fight and is taking more of an ass whooping than he probably really needs to. You know, his legacy is 100% secured. His name will go down in history as one of the greatest Japanese wrestlers of all time.
100%.
You know, he was in. He wrestled in the very first match, the very first New Japan show, 50 years ago, and he wanted to be a part of this year multiple times, and the dude is bringing it. He's really bringing his working shoes.
Yeah, and to think that he's wrestling now, it's kind of wild. Speaking of, I was gonna say something related to that, but it's Nope. For some reason, blanking me. So I'll come back to you on that one. Then we get Yujiro versus Tangaloa, which, I mean, I guess good for Tangaloa. He's gonna get a W here in ECW, yeah. But yeah. And then we go to the title matches, the junior heavyweight tag team title match. Wata Taguchi versus Dookie and Kanemaru. The United Empire will be defending their tag team titles in a three-way match against Goto Yoshihashi and Fale and Chase Owens. Then the never open weight title will be on the line. Evil versus Tama Tonga. I'm really looking forward to see how that match goes. Very interesting, that one.
Yeah. As as the continuation between the war of the Grills of Destiny and Bullet Club continue. Tama is looking to take that never open weight championship from Evil. We'll very well see if he can do it. Tama definitely is not afraid to fight dirty, which we saw with El Desperado versus Sho. That's pretty much what you have to do in order to defeat the House of Torture. If Tama's willing to take it there, he very well has a chance at winning the Never Openweight Championship.
Absolutely. And what a thing will be if he is able to do that, right? Be able to put that against Bullet Club, because he's not winning when it comes to Bullet Club. They need a big win. And junior heavyweight title will be on the line. El Desperado versus Bone Soldier Taiji Ishimori.
Dude, these guys tear it up every time they meet.
They do.
And I firmly expect them to do it again.
It's gonna be fun. And for the United States style, as you mentioned, Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Will Ospreay.
For the vacant U.S. Championship. Once again, gonna be really fun and really exciting. It's not the first time, but I think it's the first time in a very long time. And Will Ospreay has only gotten better over the last several years. Since moving up to heavyweight, since taking a more aggressive edge. Will Ospreay has been the world champion and main event at Wrestle Kingdom. So, Tanahashi definitely has his work cut out for him, but if anybody's able to do it, I think, the ace might be able to shut Ospreay up.
Yeah, for sure. Your main event, Okada looking to avenge his loss at the New Japan Cup against Naito, and the title's on the line. These two so fun to watch together every single time.
Yeah, this is the one I started talking about when I got confused, but this is the pretty much the big rivalry, one of the big rivalries of this generation. In 12 years they've fought 14 times. They're split down the middle 7-7. Even in their last three, they're split. Okada beat Naito in February for the championship. Naito beat Okada in the New Japan Cup just last month. So yet again, guys who've gone ups and downs and highs and lows, and they always find themselves against each other. But as we were talking about, you know, the Rainmaker's back on his shit, and gonna be hard to beat when the title's on the line.
100%. And what's crazy is just like when these two fight, I don't know. I feel like I can never be able to like guess or determine like who's gonna win this match.
Yeah,
like they're so good about keep you guessing and keep you in suspense, and the way that they just do the thing is
you know, so they have such a long rivalry that at this point they're starting to not only counter each other's signature moves, but also like know the sequences of moves that they tend to do, and not only block individual moves, but block and find reversals and counters to sequences of moves as well as individual moves. So it makes it very exciting that, you know, the tide can changes back and forth very, very quickly between these two.
Yeah.
So great, you want a main event. I mean, this is a damn main event is what it is.
This is exactly what you want to see. And we're going to see it live on New Japan World. So, yeah, do not miss it. May 1st. It's going to be great. Of course, then followed by the show, we'll be at Capital Coalition. They'll be also in Philadelphia at the Bingo Hall the next day. And then, of course, the Super Juniors are going to be in action throughout May, June, and Dominion, June 12th. Another big, big show happening in less than 2 months. So a lot of great action coming up in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So I'm all here for it.
100%. On board as the 50th anniversary celebration continues.
Yeah. And I know that Eric is super excited as well. No, he's so excited. He couldn't be here because he just doesn't have the words.
He could not even contain his excitement long enough to let us talk.
Yeah, pretty much. Speaking of New Japan Pro Wrestling, though, one of the best junior heavyweights New Japan has ever seen, Kushida, is rumored to be gone from WWE.
His contract just quietly expired this week, apparently, and the company knew that he had no intention to re-sign, so I don't even think they really pressured him that hard to try and sign into the contract.
Mm-hmm.
It was just announced just yesterday that Kushida's now officially done. I don't know if he has, you know, the no-compete clause or not. As far as I know, the NXT no-compete clause is just 30 days.
Right.
You know, but the contract signed different for every person, but you know, the best of the Super Junior starts in the middle of May. It's very possible that we could see Kushida once again in Best of Super Juniors in New Japan. You know, it's quite, if he's not interested in moving back to Japan right away, there's quite a few places in the States that I'm sure would be very happy to have his talents. As you know, him and his family, you know, moved from Japan to down to Florida, of course. So, you know, if he has plans to stay in the United States, there are plenty of places that I'm sure would be more than happy to bring him into their roster. You know, be it even on a one-off or a part-time basis.
Yeah. Kind of crazy how his run came to be in WWE, but I'm not surprised. Just because of the changes in mythology. Like, I think with WWE finally accepting and embracing what I've been preaching all along. And that is that NXT is nothing but a developmental system. And this whole foolishness about it being a third brand, I'm just glad they're done with it. It's
Well,
not.
I think it was partly that, but I think it was also once they dissolved the cruiserweight division. You know, when they brought pretty much the cruiserweight division to NXT exclusively, like that was going to be where Kushida was going to be. Obviously, you know, he's, you know, that's his size, his style. You know, he's not a guy who's going to be doing a lot of, you know, giant killer type matches where he's going to be against guys who are, you know, a whole foot taller than him and he's going to be fighting to break them down and all that. That's not his style. His style is set for somebody of similar size and build, you know, and so he, you know, he, it took him a while to win that cruiserweight championship. He held it. He had some good matches and he lost it. And then, you know, not very long after that is when they decided to just kind of go ahead and kind of close the door on the cruiserweight division once and for all. And that was kind of the end, really, for Kushida. You know, they tried to pair him with Ike Manjiro, and basically their whole gimmick was that they're both Japanese and they like to wear unusual jackets. And so they were jacket time. And they were kind of a comedy duo, you know, because Ike Manjiro has a very kind of over-the-top persona, you know, with a lot of wild facial expressions and body language and stuff. But yeah, it, you know, they weren't really treated as, you know, as a credible threat to the tag team division. And, you know, now Ike Manjiro's there pretty much, you know, battling his fight alone.
Yeah. You know, it'd be interesting to see about Kushida. See, I think with expired contracts, I don't even think that they have a non-compete clause. At least I didn't think they did. So there's a chance.
It seems that every single contract is very, very different. Yeah. But yeah, so you're saying there's a possibility that we could see him next month in DC is what you're trying to tell us.
It's exactly what I'm saying.
That would be truly, utterly insane. That would be.
Can you imagine Jay White coming out and, you know,
doing his open challenge and Kushida coming to answer it?
Yeah, I mean, he's still here, so the USOJ open challenge still USOJ, there. So.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, can you imagine if he like comes out for the challenge and out comes Kushida? Could you imagine?
The place would go nuts. I mean, and there, you know, so here's the thing too, though. Alex Shelley is currently a free agent as well. So it's very possible that we could see the Time Splitters reunite more than a few times. You know, Chris Sabin is still with Impact. Very possible we could see, you know, Sabin and Kushida team up together again. They had, you know, had some time teaming together.
Did.
There's a lot of possibilities for Kushida, being that, you know, now that he's a free agent, where he goes, and I mean, he could show up on Dynamite this week, I guess, technically.
I'm sure
there's no clause.
Yeah, I am sure Tony would more than love to make him All Elite. That's for sure. But yeah, man, I mean, it's crazy that we could have him back and do some really fun matches. So yeah. Oh, I mean, at the end of the day, he's gonna do what's gonna make him the happiest, and he's gonna listen to, I mean, I'm sure he's gonna also listen to his friends that he's got. And I don't know, but yeah, we'll see. You know, but the fact, yeah, those news are coming out. Now it's earth shattering, but definitely, I was like, huh.
Yeah, it was definitely unexpected. Yeah, to just read that he was done. I was like, oh well, damn, that's not something I thought I would hear this week. Yeah, I expected him, you know. if he was going to be leaving WWE, I would have expected it to be kind of a bigger deal leading up to it. Instead, it just kind of quietly happened.
Yeah. So,
and another... might I go ahead and give a pat on the back to Vince McMahon for kind of somehow deciding to forego the typical future endeavor lines and posts and just go ahead and fax things to Sean Ross Sapp at Fightful. Every time somebody's something happens and somebody's being let go from WWE, they just send a fax to Sean Ross Sapp, you know, at Fightful, and he just goes ahead and breaks the news for them, and then WWE doesn't have to do the whole future endeavor thing.
Yeah. Hey, it's working out so far. So good. So this way, right? It's costing everybody $5 though, so I don't know.
Well, that's true. That's true. And faxes are probably not exactly cheap this day and age.
No, I mean, what can you use fax? I mean, I guess if anybody does have a fax, it would be Vince McMahon. Okay, another exit coming out this night, not quietly, Jack Evans announced that he will not be re-signing with All Elite Wrestling, or could be the other way around. All Elite Wrestling decided not to renew his contract. I mean, at least that's probably the story that what's-his-face, Tony K would probably say.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're seeing more guys leave AEW, obviously not for WWE, but who do you think is next? I mean, they keep signing tons of guys, and they have some major announcement coming up tomorrow.
It's interesting. I mean, at this point, there's they're at the level where people, you know, that they signed originally, the first year, their deals are coming up. You know, most of these guys, I guess, were set to shorter term deals, 1, 2, 3 years, and now they're coming up on, you know, on whether they're going to renew or not. And like you said, they've been signing a lot of people, a lot of very high dollar people. So I guess, you know, it's now time to get the guys who they're not really utilizing as much, and they got to kind of let them go in order to be able to pay all these big name talents that they brought in to replace them, essentially. Right. You know, and All Elite was supposed to be a, you know, the original plans and things boasted about a place of homegrown talent and new talent, you know, the people hadn't seen on such a big stage, but those are the people that are not having their contracts renewed. Those are the people who they're letting go or you know, they aren't able to come to an agreement on. In favor of people who already have a potentially established name, you know, through WWE or you know, through other places possibly, and brought into big contract fanfare, and they're kind of being, you know, given the top slots over the homegrown talent. So it's, you know, yet again, they're running into these problems of things that they, you know, that the fans complained about with WWE and they complained about with TNA and, you know, all these, no, we're not going to do that. You know, we're never going to do that. We're never going to do the things that you don't like that these other places do. Now we're coming back around to them doing these exact same things. And, you know, their fans are just kind of like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, no, we want to see Sting and CM Punk wrestle and, you know, and Daniel Bryan and Dean Ambrose. We want to see all these guys wrestle, you know, instead of the ones that you told us that we weren't going to see elsewhere. And it was, but here we are, you know, as we've talked in the past, you know, whenever Vince McMahon does something, he's kind of seen as the devil of professional wrestling. He's the evil, you know, the evil lord of wrestling who has no morals and is callous and et cetera, et cetera. But Tony Khan is here doing the same things, and it's seen as okay. It's not, that's just part of doing business. But when Vince McMahon does it, it's evil.
But he's an evil person. Also remember the AEW is it, you know, they do not fire their talent. They just wait till their contract.
Yeah, that's
fired.
It. They just don't, you know, just don't give them a job. Sit them on the sidelines, let their contract expire, as opposed to firing them and then paying them to forcibly sit on the sidelines, which is essentially what All Elite's doing. They're paying them to sit on the sidelines and they're just not renewing the contract. It's doing the same thing, but just calling it something else, basically.
Right. Pretty much. But all power to them. If that's what they want to do. Okay. Let's see. What else is going on in the world of AEW? Nothing much. Austin Theory is now the United States champion, defeating Finn Balor. How long do you think Finn Balor sticks in the WWE? Are his days numbered?
Hard to say. I think he's happy there. I think he understands the role that he's playing right now. You know, they're not going to move him up to the top and make him the, you know, a top level player. I don't think he's going to be the one, you know, to defeat Roman Reigns and you know, bring down the Tribal Chief. I don't think he's going to be that person. I don't even know if he's going to get another shot at it after the, you know, the Demon lost when the top rope broke. You know, from everything I see and hear, he's happy, loving life here in America, loving working with WWE, you know. He's working up and down the card. Right now he's, you know, helping to, basically doing what he was doing in NXT. He's helping to elevate younger talent. You know, and he had the US Championship and lost to a young upcoming talent. So I don't know. I would say as long as he's happy, they'll probably keep him around as this kind of, you know, this kind of similar role that he's in. You know, but yet again, we said the same thing about a lot of people, and then they were on the chopping block, you know, very quickly. So it's very, very hard to say. You know, I think that most wrestling fans would agree there is value in Finn Balor. It's just whether you take advantage of it or not.
Right. Yeah, I mean, only time will tell. But, yeah, I mean, I hope he stays. I think he can do so much more for the brand. You know, he may not be a top feature as a top guy, if he's still a feature talent. He's not a guy who's going to be sitting in care and getting unused, right? So,
yeah.
So that at least that's the good thing, that we don't have to worry about that. But, yeah. So upcoming though, WWE, we have WWE WrestleMania Backlash.
Yes. Which is, thus far, is full of WrestleMania rematches, which, you know, has been a trend of the past. You know, that Backlash essentially is, you know, WrestleMania is not where things get settled once and for all. You know, WrestleMania is usually where they have their first big one-on-one contest in a long time. And then, you know, they have a return match or a return match with an added stipulation. You know, and that's pretty much what we're seeing this year too.
Yeah, I was hoping that we would have seen, especially with the Ronda Charlotte match. I was hoping that in my things, like, okay, if you're not gonna give the belt to Ronda, then Ronda needs to get away from the title. Else. I'm like, yeah. Put her with Shayna and let him just destroy the women in the tag team division, right? Let him have a nice run there. But instead, we get an I Quit match, which for Ronda, there's no way Ronda's losing an I Quit match.
Yeah, I definitely don't see that being won by Charlotte. So I guess maybe this is where Ronda, you know, gets that championship back. You know, she won the Royal Rumble, lost at WrestleMania. Now she gets her backlash, I guess.
Yeah. And, I mean, cool. I mean, I love Ronda, so I'll be happy to see her heavily featured. But I just don't know. I don't know if, you know, if the people or everybody's clamoring for another Ronda title run. I don't think you need to make have the fans think that Ronda can only be in the title picture as a champion. I guess also depends on how long Ronda's going to be here, but you want to make the best of it. But at the same time, it can be without her having the title. And
yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Well, they just want Ronda as a featured player, and you know they see her as a main event level character, and they want to treat her as, you know, this main level attraction, similar to Lesnar, I guess. So you know that. I guess that means she's going to be in the title picture and holding the title for a while, you know, possibly.
Yeah. Very, very interesting indeed to see what will be the outcome, how it all unfolds. But yeah, I mean, I'm here for it. But yeah, so an I Quit match. That is going to be interesting between two.
Yeah. But like you said, I think it's pretty much Ronda's match to win. You know, it's not Charlotte's match.
Cody Rhodes versus Seth freaking Rollins. The rematch. Now, this time, though, Rollins will be able to prepare for it. Since he wasn't able to prepare for it last time, because he didn't know who he was facing.
Yeah.
Your thoughts here, though, Cody's return, the fact that he can use words that are basically no-no in the world wrestling entertainment. You know, the words wrestling, belt, wrestlers, you know.
Yeah, it's very unusual, but I think that shows, you know, the level that they're putting Cody Rhodes in as he returned. You know, they're giving him, you know, and making him seem in the eyes of fans that he's very different. You know, I'm not going to play by the rules 100%. You know, everybody, you know, the smart fans all know that, you know, these kind of things that you're not supposed to say or do in WWE, but Cody's here and he can do them. and he seemingly gets no backlash. He has pyro in his entrance and all this, you know, which very few do. And I think it's just really showing, you know, what they have planned for Cody. And, I could see SummerSlam being Cody versus Roman. I could see it going to that direction. You know, I mean, a feud against Seth Rollins is very, very high profile. It's not, they didn't just slide him back into a random tag team. You know, they're treating him like a star, like a top level performer. I understand the reasoning for the rematch this time. It's not just like, ooh, I want to fight you again because I lost. Like, there's some understanding behind it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He put a challenge. You know, Vince signed the contract before, didn't tell Seth who his opponent was. So, you know, arguably Seth was not able to prepare for Cody specifically. He's fought him now. He's had some time to review and prepare, and he looks to fight him once again and hope that with proper preparations, the result will be different. I don't think it will, though.
Yeah.
I think Seth takes him the trip down to the crossroads.
Next one, AJ Styles faces off against Edge again.
Again, yeah. Edge is starting to assemble a group of friends. And rumors abound about, you know, yeah, a new brood. Brood 2.0. I guess 3.0 maybe at this point. Maybe more. Depending on what you consider each of the different versions. But, yeah, rumor is that it will be a foursome, you know, in the near future. That remains to be seen. You know, AJ might have to be looking for backup and friends as well. You know, his last friend pretty much turned on him and is, you know, headed into the main event picture.
Yeah, AJ's just not faring well with friends right now.
No.
And the only match so far that's not a rematch, RK-Bro versus the Usos, and this will be a unification match of the tag team titles.
Yeah, that's true. They're doing the unification this time. Not sure how I feel about the unification, but I'm gonna let it see where it goes. I'm just gonna let it see where it goes.
I mean, people have been complaining about the unification,
of course.
Everything. Too many titles, not enough talent.
Yeah.
But
then when they want to unify, people get upset too, you know? No. I meant there were too many titles. I didn't mean get rid of titles, you know? Like, well, I mean, that's the answer. If you think we got too many, well, you need to get rid of some then. So there's just no pleasing some people. But I don't know if it's really the same people getting upset or if it's just, you know, their voices only get loud when they're mad.
It's a bunch of bots like Tony.
That's it. It's the AEW bots funded by, you know, funded by Apple or whomever, you know. Vince McMahon, of course, is what he wants you to believe, but it's probably Apple. You know, they have the money and the technology to create an army of bots that literally are just out there to talk bad about All Elite Wrestling, and try to destroy what we've worked so hard to build, friends. you know. But we'll see, I guess, you know. If the bots are ever revealed, or if they rise up and we have to go to war against them, that will last hundreds of years.
Yeah. That's WrestleMania Backlash happening it's like 3 weeks from now or something like that, May 8th. Of course, I'm looking forward to SummerSlam. I'll be going. I'll be taking a trip up to Nashville. You know, I've been to WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series. That Faithful Day.
You've never done a SummerSlam. That's the big four that you've never done. Okay. All right, then.
I mean, the last few years has gone between what? New York, Vegas, and L.A., so never the opportunity.
I mean, that's true. That's just about as far as you can get away from us, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll travel for WrestleMania that far, but like I will next year for WrestleMania 39, but not quite for SummerSlam. Well,
the thing too is that, you know, WrestleMania now has become, you know, a much larger event, and there were talks, you know, pre-pandemic about SummerSlam, try to make it this multi-day thing, you know, do a SummerSlam access and, you know, have other events, you know, that would cover a multi-day thing and make SummerSlam truly an event that could rival WrestleMania, be a proper number two. But, you know, the pandemic hit, things haven't come about with that. So I could see where it's harder to justify the travel, you know, so far for essentially a 3-hour event. Whereas WrestleMania, yeah, now it's 2 nights. You have the Hall of Fame, you have NXT, you have 150 independent shows in the span of 3 or 4 days. It's this mecca of wrestling. But yeah, SummerSlam's not quite to that level yet.
No. But who knows? I mean, they're doing the stadiums, right? So
they're trying to move to bigger crowds, and I don't know if this year's the year where they expanded out into SummerSlam access and that kind of thing. But it's possible. It's very, very, very possible.
Yeah. Well, I'll be there. Can't wait. It's gonna be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's just gonna be. It won't be as stupendous, but it'll be great nonetheless. But yeah, I will say this though, with the rematches, I mean, while I appreciate good rematch, I just don't want to have to watch rematches all summer long. So thankfully, with Money in the Bank also being seen as a big deal, SummerSlam happening in July, not August, we may see less, less rematches and some new matches. Although, for some people, new matches will just be recycled matches. But nonetheless, it'll be fun. So.
Yeah, and like you said, it's the last of the quote unquote big four that you've seen live. So, you know, knock that off your bucket list there.
Yeah. Can't wait. I mean, nothing's gonna keep me from being there. I mean, look, ISIS couldn't keep us from Survivor Series, so right? I mean,
That's true.
That was quite one, so can't wait. Make the big four. But I can't wait for you guys to listen to this episode. I know you listen to it live. If you're listening on the VOD, appreciate it. It'll be sooner than this past week. Look, lots coming up. Tony K has a big announcement next week. We'll see what that is all about. NXT 2.0 continues to rise above, and they have some good matchups that we'll be talking about as we go on. But yeah, it's a great time to be a pro wrestling fan. There's a lot of fun stuff going all around. Even AEW is putting up some interesting matches out there. Of course, they've got Double or Nothing coming up in a couple of months. They're big, you know, their top tier big show of the year. So yeah, I can't wait to see what the rest of spring and the summer unfolds for us. But please make sure that you stay tuned with us and what we're doing, and just make sure that you subscribe iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon Music, anywhere where podcasts are heard. If you see us on in Washington, please say hi. We don't buy it. Well, maybe they need us just a little bit. I don't know. But yeah, depends. It's gonna be a fun depends. Show. So we hope to see you all there. Follow us on the social media at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter, Danny F in Danger. Mika's on Twitter, Mika Villas. Eric's on Twitter at EJ423X. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And until next time, at Washington, D.C., keep watching wrestling.